Welcome to the Archive Project. I'm Andrew Proctor, Executive Director of Literary Arts. The Archive Project is a retrospective of some of the most engaging talks from the world's best writers from more than 30 years of literary arts in Portland. Support for the Archive Project comes from Cole Haan, the fashion brand that's acknowledging extraordinary people who write, read, and shape the world through their extraordinary stories. All this and more at colehaan.com. In this episode, we feature some of the incredible slam poets who performed as part of Verslandia 2018, the citywide youth poetry slam presented by Literary Arts. Leading up to Verslandia, high school students across the city spend the year writing and competing with their peers. And each April, two slam poets from each school come to the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall to claim the title as slam champ. What is important about staying tuned for this episode is that these young poets are thrilling to hear. They will give you the chills and perhaps bring tears to your eyes. At this moment, when it feels our society is cleaved by deep divisions, race, geography, economics, and age, it is so important to take the time to really listen to young voices who are, after all, the future. These young writers come from all walks of life in Portland and have incredible stories to tell. In addition to hearing some of these stunning youth performances, we will also hear from Anis Majgani, who is a two-time national slam champ and winner of the International World Cup Poetry Slam. Majgani is the MC of Verslandia and also a board member of Literary Arts. We will also hear a few students talk about their work. And just a quick reminder that all the poems you will hear in this episode are written by high school youth, and some contain explicit language and mature content, which may not be suitable for all audiences. Here's our host, Anis Majgani.
Hello! Humans of varying shapes, sizes, colors, genders, and hearts, welcome to the seventh Verslandia! I've been on the road off and on for the last, 6 weeks, basically. And I flew into town today, and it is so great that the first day back, I get to come to this beautiful space and get to hear these wonderful poems from these fantastic human beings down front. A warm round of applause for every person that's competing tonight that's going to grace this stage. As well as for every young poet inside of the house, whether or not they step onto this stage or not. Quick question, who in here has been to a poetry slam before? Who in here has never been to a poetry slam before? All right. Who in here has been to a Verslandia? All right. So for the folks that are new to how this all works, I'm going to do a quick breakdown as to how this is going to happen over the course of this evening. So the poetry slam, really quickly, is a competition where each person coming up will have up to 3 minutes to share something that they wrote out of the depths of their soul and heart and mind. And then we have these five wonderful humans over here who are going to be giving a numeric score to that work of art that they just heard. Any questions? That's what I thought. All right, so before we start this off, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you guys these five wonderful judges right here. A round of applause. So starting from the far side, we have Taya Johnson, a college freshman, writer, actress, singer, and dancer, and she also took first place in Verslandia 2016. Give it up! Seated next to Taya is Jonathan Hill, a cartoonist. He teaches comics in the BFA illustration program at the Pacific Northwest College of Art. And as I found out earlier, we both graduated from the same college many, many moons ago. Jonathan Hill. Next to Jonathan, we have Cindy Williams Gutierrez, an award-winning poet and playwright who has taught poetry to every grade from K through 12th. A round of applause for Cindy. Next to Cindy, we have Rukaya Adams. They are the chief investment officer at Meyer Memorial Trust and serves on the board of directors at OPB. A round of applause, please. And last but certainly not least, seated next to Rukaya, we have Daniel Shaniak. He is the global communications planning director on Nike at Wieden Kennedy here in Portland. A round of applause for Danny and all five of our wonderful judges. So before we get started, there's two things I want to do. I want to loosen us up, make sure that we're like good and ready. So we're going to do a little maybe call and response interactive exercise. Are y'all ready for this? All right. So when I ask y'all who is in the house, I want y'all to yell out, "I am in the house." All right? And when I say, ask whose house is this, I want you to yell out, "This house is ours." Who is in the house?
I am in the house.
Whose house is this?
This house.
All right. Now I want you to repeat after me, because these are strange times that we are in right now. And I feel that the only way we get through them is by recognizing that we move as one through all this, all right? So repeat after me. What there is to give, may we give it.
What there is to share, may we share it.
I am welcomed here.
All are welcomed here.
Whose house is this? Y'all did splendid. So, who's ready for this poetry slam to start up? All right, that was like 85% of y'all participating. I need 100% of y'all participating. Who's ready for this poetry slam to start?
Yes!
Yes! Yes! Except we're not quite yet there. We got one more piece of business before we can get this ball going. So, this first poet that I'm going to bring up to the stage is what's known as a sacrificial or calibration poet. And their job is to sacrifice themselves before the poetry gods and goddesses. This young poet is going to share their poem to the audience. This audience is going to give so much love to this young poet. And then these judges are going to score that poem just as if it was in the competition. And what this allows us as an audience is to learn how we're going to engage with this poetry tonight. And it also allows the judges to have something to compare the rest of the night's poems against. Are y'all ready to do this? Are y'all ready to do this? All right. Without further ado, please welcome to the stage the first poet of the night, Allison Riddle.
Hello, I'm Allison Riddle, and this is my poem entitled Mother Earth, and it's told from that same point of view. They're killing me. Some of them know this, yet they stick to their ways. I tried warning them. 3 major hurricanes in a month should have done it. The pen is mightier than the sword. Dear humans, I am done with you. I am sick and tired of your abuse. You may claim to be environmentally friendly, but this is what you really do. You kill off my creatures with reckless abandon. You build cities making concrete jungles that are nothing like the real thing, filled with the squawks of your naked offspring, creating nothing but more ways to kill me and you. You spit in my tears so that they burn when they hit my cheek, burn like the fire inside me that could erupt at any moment, burn like my forests, my ever-shrinking forests. You poison the very air in my lungs. You give me a fever so potent that I drown in my own sweat every day, the putrid water creeping closer to my chin as I fight to draw another poisonous breath, gasping like a fish out of water or a pen out of ink.
Thank you, Allison. All right, judges. On the count of 3, hold your scores high above. 1, 2, 3. Judges, your scores. We have, from low to high, a 6.8. Feel free to let those judges know what you feel about those scores. A 6.8, a 7.5, an 8.0, an 8.1, and an 8.2 for the poem. Applaud the poet.
I mean, every year I'm always really blown away and humbled by what these kids bring to the stage. I think you can really start to see the impact within the young writing community here in Portland of, you know, now that it's been going on for a number of years, of just sort of like it pushing folks and honing folks and allowing them to sort of like more strongly interact with themselves and their creativity. And you really got that this year. And I think probably one will find this in most youth slam communities around the globe right now, you know, just like that, like to hear the topics of what they're choosing to write about and to speak openly and honestly about is really invigorating and inspiring. You know, I mean, like so many things that they're so present with, both with regards to like the ones that directly intersect themselves and also the ones that intersect other communities that they recognize that they're part of the same family, you know, regardless of the difference, say, that might separate them, be it race or gender or sex or whatever. And that there's just such empathy, so much empathy was on this stage tonight. And that was just lovely.
And keep that energy going and welcome up to the stage, Ari.
Okay, listen. Stand up, take your earplugs out, and start hearing this, because thoughts and prayers are pretty damn worthless. We've got students going on, hands up, shot dead, all the while we're left wondering, when are we gonna be next? Quiet and pensive, thoughts apprehensive, while kids as young as 8, 9, and 10 are left to die because of your damn indifference. While I'm rehearsing my verse, kids are hauled off in a hearse. Your generation is the one who raised us, but your generation is the one who's failing us, yet your generation has the power to save us. Kids who have finally given up. Kids in the white hats, stand up. Cops in the lot, light them up. Then when your time's up, put the gun in your mouth and aim up. Stand up and listen, because I will never be another statistic. What exactly do our lives mean if we are left to bleed while your congressmen give in to money and greed? We've got students who need your help, students who will die without your help, but you think it's enough to let kids become just another hashtag. How long do I have to wait until I am just another number on a page? Until my life is decided by my classmate who wields a mental illness in one hand and a weapon in the other? Stand up, because thoughts and prayers will never bring thousands of victims back to life. It's been over 2,000 days since Sandy Hook, and yet over 1,000 lives are left hanging on your line, standing at the knife point between your apprehension and our self-retaliation, paralyzing our minds with fear and lies of what we've tried 1,000 times not to die. You still let us die. 1,000 times we asked you why. 1,000 times you gave us blithe. 1,000 times of 1,000 minds all saying we just want to survive. We are going to stand up and find satisfaction that every action has an equal and opposite reaction, because this movement is gaining traction and you had better damn start listening. I am living a life of fear, and so are millions of other kids, all asking, am I next? Your time is up. People line up, memories are tied up, because us kids are fed up. And we will no longer fall in line with your words and lies, because we will stand up, because we will fight to stop the next Columbine or Maryland or Sandy Hook or Orlando or Parkland, because we will stand up. Your thoughts and prayers translate to our policies and action, and our policies and action translate to human lives saved. It is your time to listen to us. So stand the f*** up.
Give it up for Ari. Judges, let's see what you thought of the poem. I'll hold them up in 3, 2, 1. We have an 8.7,
an 8.8, a 9.0, a 9.4, and a 9.7 for Ari Aplaud, the poet. And keep it going. Welcome to the stage, the fifth poet in the first round, Zoe F.
Remind me of you. Stop signs, student handouts, sunflower sunrises, sunshine, fishnet stockings, documentaries about the American opium crisis, addiction, the color red, crying, Burnside Street, my bed, summer, the season, and the person, my own body, clocks, the word, suicide, the word, recovery, the word, love, the word, fading, wedding rings, blood, drum sets, the serenity prayer, my mom's giant light-up snowflake, my future, getting up in the morning, and all of my poetry. I shouldn't be so angry. I shouldn't feel like I let you down. You've been in treatment for a year and 3 months now, and my savior complex is still showing. I still think I could have saved you on my own. Rescued you from the spoon, the lighter and the syringe, the smack, the ER, the treatment center, the city, the concealer in the crooks of your elbows, the edge of that knife, your own anger and sadness, the push and pull of your complicated life. I wanted to be a hero. Wanted to pull you out of the fire and into my arms because I wanted to save you. I've never wanted to protect anyone like I wanted to protect you. All these feelings and truths and emotions still sting. Hurt like a shallow paper cut that won't heal for weeks. I don't know if you can forgive me for the things I have just said in this poem, the anger that I've just released in this poem. It's not about you, this poem. It's about me, this poem. I am trying to let go with this poem as the anger flies in all directions. Things that remind me of you. Warm skin. The big book, the way that the sky gets lighter at the edges. Sweaty palms, cold noses, black and blue plaid, my future. Getting up in the morning and all of my poetry.
Give it up for Zoe! Judges, let's see those scores in 3, 2, 1, hold them high. We have a 7.8. Let them know how you feel. An 8.1, an 8.3, an 8.3, and a 9.0. Applaud the poet.
My name is Maya, and I started doing writing slam poetry because I had been writing just random things on and off. I'd had a lot of thoughts, and I felt as though poetry was like the only way of keeping me from drowning in my own thoughts. And so I started writing poetry, and most of it would come at pretty inconvenient times, like the quintessential 2 in the morning poem, which for me was every poem. I didn't get much sleep freshman year, but I did get started in slam poetry, which has changed my life in a way that sleep couldn't.
Keep that applause going, and let us welcome to the stage the next poet, Lucinda.
I'm a bit of a crier. In fact, I'm sort of an expert on the matter. I've done my time, I've got my master's. If I wanted, I could charge $100 to teach a class, but I've decided to be generous with my learnings and instead devise a list for all you people who are yearning for some clarity on the matter. A list of where's and where nots, a list of how's and how nots, a list of Lucinda's top 5 all occasion best and worst places to cry. I will start with the worst. Number 5, on a college tour. Preferably if you make the other parents and their kids uncomfortable. I bet they thought it was the financial aid that made me so emotional. I saw no reason to correct them. Number 4, on stage. Preferably if you play it off like an artistic choice. Who knew tree number 4 had such a complex character backstory? Maybe she's gonna be the next upcoming prodigy. Nope, something's just wrong psychologically.
Number 3, in the freezer section of a Fred Meyer's, preferably while clutching a bagged rotisserie chicken to your chest. The employees kept asking if I needed any help. I'll give you a hint. I did. Number 2, on camera, preferably if it ends up on social media afterwards. I'll tell you right now, puffy eyes are not attractive qualities. Number 1, at somebody else's birthday party, preferably while eating their entire birthday cake. But don't feel too bad. They'll get another next year. I hope. Sorry, Grandma. And I know those sound rough, but don't worry. It's not all as bad as it seems. There are plenty of ways to relieve your feelings while still retaining your dignity. So let's move on to the top 5 better places to cry. Number 5, all alone. While being accompanied by sad music, if you try hard enough, it's almost as if you're in an indie movie, and, well, you sort of are. Number 4, on a bench in the park, while holding a loaf of bread, the pigeons won't mind your wallowing, and they will appreciate your weepy crumbs. Number 3, in the rain, on somebody's porch in an act of love, if you're lucky, as the protagonist in a rom-com, but either way, the rain will disguise your tears, or at least wash them away. Number 2, in the bath, while eating ice cream out of the carton, drown your feelings in the warm water, numb your hurt with a pity sundae. And now, number 1, in the arms of someone who cares while they are crying too, but out of love and not of pity, and out of strength and not of shame. Thank you.
Give it up for Lucinda. Judges, let's see those scores in 3, 2, 1, hold them high. We have an 8.5, a 9.1, a 9.3, a 9.4, and a 9.5 for Lucinda. Applaud the poet. And keep that applause going. Welcome up to the stage, Zara.
To all the white boys who broke my heart. You're hearing this and you're already upset. You say I use white like a slap in the face. Racist is the sharpest word you've ever had to deal with. I don't know how to tell you that loving you is claustrophobia. Every time your words shrink my story smaller, the room shrinks with it, keeps getting smaller. Every time you say I don't see race, my oxygen filling your lungs. And you told me that I occupy the room when I speak, but you never understood how loud I have to speak to be heard over all that white noise, why I cried the night you told me. Why I cried the night you told me. Sorry, guys. And isn't it funny how I have to work twice as hard to thrive in a country whose scientists tried to prove me stupid, and you're the one with the C in English? Now, you didn't break my heart. My heart is too hard to be broken, hardened through years of boys just like you, acting like it's so much better with an exotic girl, like my body is some vacation house in Cabo that you can just trash. And I know you're tired too, like chewing, like you're tired and your mouth just got tired of chewing me up and spitting me out. See, you can only eat for so long before you run out of Thanksgiving. Maybe I wonder why I go back to you every time, why you take up all the space in my poetry too. Maybe it's because you make me feel more American in the only country I've ever known. Maybe you're as close as I can get to being white. People like you write history books, so if you say I'm beautiful, it must be true. So if you write my story, I won't be forgotten. I won't be forgotten. This story won't end in another flag being put down. I am a love letter to myself and to every brown woman who ever mistook herself for a shadow in his light, who ever counted her words like calories as he grew plump on her silence. As he grew plump on her silence. Thank you.
Give it up for Zara. Judges, tally up those scores, tally up those thoughts, and let's see what you have in 3, 2, 1. Hold them up. We have a 7.5, an 8.3, an 8.3, an 8.4, and a 9.1. Applaud the poet.
My name is Jolly Rapper. The rappers with a W, like candy rapper. Ever since I was young, I was like interested in music, and I'm a rapper, so poetry, rap, they go together. And I never performed for like this big of a place before.
Keep that applause going. Welcome back up to the stage for their second poem, Jolly Rapper.
This poem is titled, The Risk I Dared Take. In the kitchen is where my mother was, wearing her favorite gravy-stained apron, over and up her buttoned-up button-up. Yeah, that shirt she wore when she was painting, she always wore that shirt. Why? It had me puzzled much. Like, did she not notice the buttons were breaking? Though the shirt was creased and roughened up, it's always been here, she just couldn't replace it. Why do you always worry so much? Quit acting like you really won't make it. She said to me as she was making me lunch, oh, I'm not worried, you must be mistaken. It's just these lyrics and ideas that I keep bundled up in my mind seem to be making me anxious. I know these lyrics aren't very much, but soon these are what will be making me famous. I peeked over her shoulder, leaned over the open drawer full of old knives that were dull and broken. Without knowing it, I nose dove into a home full aroma that arose from the warm stove. And, by the way, Mom, what you making? Nudging me out the way, she sounded irritated. Sorry, but you have to keep waiting. I'm making your favorite. I'm cooking, quit pacing, not playing, be patient. I wondered, what's the occasion? Got tired of waiting, I just couldn't take it. Smelled so good I could basically taste it. My stomach was aching, that food I was craving. Turned a corner and the sight was amazing. Now, I'm not exaggerating when I say that day I started fainting. Gazing in amazement, her creations had me changing faces. Went from nappy and bland to happy and glad. Listen to eggs get cracked on the pan. Glistening eggs go splash on the pan. Sizzling eggs go cracking and splat on the pan. Witness potatoes get slashed into halves. So many memories that I have had with that pan. Seeing my mother gripping the pan with her withering hands, flipping and whipping and tipping the pan. Seeing how quickly it switched in her hands. You can't begin to imagine or fathom the way that she handled the pan. Knew the kitchen like the back of her hand. I was plotting and planning the actions of snatching the snacks in the back of the cabinet. Taking my chances and acting a savage. Would this catastrophe actually happen? That was my last thought. Passing the asking when grabbing the glass jar. But accidents happen. Gas as I managed to make a gigantic glass fall. She wasn't that far, shattered in half of a second, as loud as a crack in the asphalt. Oh snap, it just happened. That is the last straw. She snapped it and started slapping and smacking the back of my hand hard. But those homemade cookies were the risk I dared take.
Give it up for Jolly Rapper. Judges, let's see what you got. Hold those scores up in 3, 2, 1. Hold them up. We have a low of 9.1, a 9.2, a 9.4, a 9.5, and a 9.6 for Jolly Rapper. Applaud the poet. Keep that applause going, and let's bring up to the stage the next poet, Kaylin.
"17 seconds will never be enough time to voice what 17 people never can. Thousands of students forced to live the horrors that our politicians can never understand. What we stand for is no longer liberty and justice, but a fight for life itself. No kid should ever have to wage a war so that weapons of war don't f*** up their bodily health. I mean, are you hearing what we're saying? Are the lights still on upstairs? Because the last thing I've been thinking is that the administration really cares about real people reduced to numbers on a crumpled spreadsheet, a tally of individual lives never given the opportunity to be complete. $30 million. Is that how much Gen Z is worth? Or did you stop giving a shit about us immediately after birth? Mr. Trump, why are you treating mental illness like it's a precedent? The last time I checked, we were getting enough of that from our president. I am a Gen Z kid, a born after 9/11, grew up hiding under their desk kid, a zombie buried in their phone because they're sick of hearing the last thing some just did. With an AK-47, AR-15 semi-automatic rifle in the will to shoot up a school, a monster with the determination to add their fellow students to a growing Ted pool. I am a Gen Z kid, a generation that learned how to lock down before they learned how to read, a woman who's tired of waiting for her problems to be solved by some prince and his noble steed, a student who reads about her nation's history and can only feel disgust and shame, a person ready to redefine the system so that they can put our anger to a name, because I am a Gen Z kid, and Generation Zombie isn't hungry for fish and chips. I hope you still got those guns, because here comes the Gen Zombie apocalypse. Your Second Amendment right to bear arms isn't gonna protect you from our wrath when we vote you out of office and fix this broken system. Do the math. I mean, do you hear the people singing the songs of angry men? It's the music of the people who will not get shot up at school again. Do you see the ocean of protesters choking the National Mall, neo-Nazis, racist NRA lobbyists? We're gonna get rid of them all. Because 200-year-old policies don't know what the people of the 21st century stand for. I'm a Gen Z kid, saying the things that should have been said long before Douglas Mason, before Columbine, before Sandy Hook, before Virginia Tech, before Benton, before Aztec, before San Bernardino, before Marysville, before Roseburg, before Santa Monica, Newton, Oakland, Chardon, Huntsville, DeKalb, Baton Rouge, Blacksburg, before...
Give it up for Kaylin! Judges, let's see those scores. Hold them up in 3, 2, 1. We have a low of 8.8, a 9.0, a 9.0, a 9.2, and a 9.4. Applaud the poet.
You know, particularly within the poetry community, and particularly within the poetry slam community, one will find that, and both a spectrum of like where that's done successfully and where there's some stumbles. And so it's a difficult and challenging thing to write outside of one's experience and honor vulnerable communities while not speaking quote unquote for them. And so that was really just lovely and impressive to hear these young folks like navigating that. And I think largely a very like powerful and successful manner.
And keep that applaud going. Welcome up to the stage, Nicole.
Black women are the epitome of enigma, the personification of perfection. I said the personification of perfection. Beauty in the eye of every beholder. And for far too long, y'all have been asleep, so as I spill this tea, sip this Folgers. I am subconsciously sublime, and like wine, I just get better with time because I am carrying the weight of my ancestors on my back, and I am nowhere near oblivious to the fact that society just wants me to lay on my back, do crack, and have a couple babies. A white man could shoot me, and I would go to jail first for saying it's shady. Nefertiti, Cleopatra, Harriet, Sojourner, Ruby Bridges, Rosa Parks, Coretta King, y'all are who I look up to, who I speak to from my knees, so I ask you, I beg kindly, when I am tripping, guide me, remind me, tell me that I am a black queen, and from everything I could have been born, I was born looking like you, from the way that my skin gleams in the sun to the way the world curled off of my tongue, I am who they desire and to which y'all aspire. Tell me I'm pretty, I'm worth it, I deserve it, because in a world like this, in a place like this, with a face like this and a shape like this, I am always a target. Whether it be from the men who think my consent is up for bargain, or for the women who hate me for the way that I look and then pay thousands for the body that I inherited. Or from the die-hard Americans who find it imperative to remind me that I do not belong in a place that I did not ask to be. The most disrespected woman in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. And the most neglected person in America is the black woman. And that sucks because the love, the brains, the beauty, and the care of a black woman is something that many cannot touch, yet too often I hear the stereotype that we are ghetto or down on our luck. So just in case you were wondering, 43 out of 50 black women graduate high school, and that is 86%. And when it comes to money, business is booming with a 322% rise in black female-owned businesses since 1997. So black girls in college surpasses any other race in, and that includes America's prized white men, so using that uneducated jab, you're not gonna win. I could mention the paper bags, caller ID, windshield wipers, diapers, the heater, the brush, half the things that you and I need, we invented, yet we are still not worthy of love, protection, affection. But karma gonna come around and you'll learn your lesson. Thank you.
Give it up for Nicole. Judges. Let's see those scores in 3, 2, 1, hold them high. We have, starting from low, we have an 8.4, an 8.7, a 9, and a 9 for Nicole. Give it up for the poet. And let's welcome back up to the stage, Mia.
I'm 15 years old and scared. I'm scared I won't be taken seriously. Adults look at me and see a teen somewhere in between, a child and an adult, not yet an adult, still in fault of being phone obsessed. My generation is known as vain and self-absorbed. You adults call us idiotic with our need for little hearts on a screen and our frivolous dedication to followers that can't be seen. You judge our pettiness and how we judge prettiness rather than helping penniless, but you forgot. You are the ones who created social media. You are the ones who developed touch screens. So I don't want to hear your screams anymore about how we are vain. Can't you see this social media causes us pain? Have you ever heard of cyberbullying? We didn't create this yet. You blame us, calling us childish. Will you ever take us seriously? Will you ever acknowledge that we are intelligent in our own ways too? And will you please stop being so condescending? I'm 15 years old and scared. I'm scared we won't be able to save this dying world because here we are, teens. We are the hope of the future. We have to pick up your mess. It's our test. No wonder we're stressed, trying to do our best, keeping our fears compressed. We're trying to digest all we have to do to save the oppressed. We're trying to protest the rules you created. We're trying to suggest new ideas and express. And you wonder why we're so depressed. You press so much pressure on us. We have to fix your mess. It's not our fault that the world is melting and the earth is warming. It's not our fault that millions of trees were cut without warning. It's not our fault that society was created with a lack of equality. And it's not our fault that millions of animals are dying, endangered, and mourning. I'm not angry, okay? This, it's fear, it's helplessness, disasters are near, and I want to help. Yes, please, but how? I'm scared. We'll never be able to fix this. I'm 15 years old and scared. I'm scared of all the hate in this world. There must be another trait in this world that can deflate hate and create love, but I haven't seen it. I've seen the wars and the shootings and the news, how people hid after drinking too much booze, how 800,000 people are so desperate per year they choose to kill themselves. I'm scared of gunshots, that hope rots, of cruel plots. I'm scared that we won't take action. I'm scared we'll continue splitting into factions without compassion. I'm scared that we'll continue to let anger be a distraction from love. I'm 15 years old and scared. I'm scared of all the hate in this world. There must be another trait in this world. Kindness is always so late in this world. Can't we try and recreate this world so people don't have to live scared?
Give it up for Mia. Judges, let's see what you got. In 3, 2, 1, hold them up. We have an 8.5, an 8.6, an 8.8, a 9.0, and a 9.7 for Mia. Applaud the poet. And applaud all the poets in the second round. Our math experts are going to gather backstage and tabulate these scores, and we will soon know who the top five of this second round are. While they do that, would you mind if I maybe shared with you guys a poem? All right. We all wanted a high school sweetheart. We wanted to be young in the 50s, maybe, with meatloafs and sock hops, and lawns so perfect they looked like Clark Gable was kissing them. We wanted to be 13 and alive, and meet someone that was 13 and alive, and walk with them past the grandstands, to sit and hold hands, to sit and kiss with, like it was something that you would miss, but that never was. We once maybe wanted to be poor, but not too poor, connecting this country like Kerouac and Thumbs, pulling small town waitresses into backseats and trailer park homes where the two of you would find passion expanding between the locking of your bones until morning would come to find you out on the road with your pockets empty except for your hands, but your hands, they'd be overflowing with your soul. But that's not what happened. We once went to bed, like between the bed sheets was a valley where dinosaurs still breathed. And how he would capture these triceratops and brontosauruses, but even he was opened up with the smoke that rose out of the homes on the corners we once climbed through, the streets and the footballs with which we once threw, the school desks upon which we once drew, the windows that sat open through which we once flew before the outside world of parking spaces and dead friends came flooding on in. And we forgot what we wanted, and we became what we become, waitresses and bartenders, city employees and temp positions. We are junkies and one-kiss poems, and we cry the stars as we write our scars onto dumpsters and electric boxes. Because the only thing that we can hear is our hearts. The only ones listening are the streets, to the blood that breathes, through the letters we leave. We dream to rise ourselves up out of these burning buildings. But instead we get buried somewhere beneath, because I know my life is like some high school kid's notebook. That kid that shuffles back and forth between school and home, stacking the letters and the pictures too close for anyone outside of their own imagination to read, because through the ink that their heart beats, that their heart breathes, and we all just wanted to write these notes. Check if you like me. Check if you don't. Check if you'll date me. Check if you won't. Because we all wanted the love songs to be true. And we did love dinosaurs once. And we wanted the stars to hold our hands, to lick the teeth, to love us. So let your smiles twist, like my heart dancing precariously on the edge of my fingertips, staining them like that same high school kid, licking his thoughts, using his Sharpie tip, writing, I was here. I was here. And ain't none of y'all can write that in the spot that I just wrote it in. I am here breathing in, and you are here breathing out, and every breath I breathe brings me a second closer to the day that my mother may die, and every breath I take takes me a second further from the moment she caught my father's eye, and every word I carry is another stone to put into place, and the foundation that I'm building these days and erase something that I never saw, what all of us wanted and what none of us got, what we all had and have, and we all forgot that we all wanted to be something, that we all became something, and it might not be the mess we thought it'd be when we were kids, but something is still something. Something, and like some cats say, something's better than nothing. Feet are smarter than an engine, and dreams are stronger than thighs, and questions are the only answers we need to have to know that we are alive is a time when I held the mind of a child, asking, why is 2 + 3 always equal to 5? Where do people go to when they die? What made the beauty of the moon and the beauty of the sea? Did that beauty make you? Did that beauty make me? Will it make me something? Will I be something? Am I something? And the answer comes, you already are. You always were. And you still have time to be. Thank you very much. Math Squad, do we have those numbers and names ready? I'ma find out. All right. Man, round of applause for tonight. This is so rad. I can't believe this has been going on for 7 years. When Literary Arts first started doing this, it was in the Mission Theater. The Mission Theater, that seats like what, 2 people? You know, like, this room is so beautiful, and it's so wonderful to like have this beautiful room that honors in its beauty what is being shared on this stage. You know, to put beautiful things into beautiful spaces is really what it means, I feel, to be a human. So please put your hearts together and applaud all the 22 young poets that got up onto this microphone tonight. As well as all the librarians and all the schools around this Portland city and elsewhere that put this together throughout the year to create these spaces for these folks to get up and share of themselves. A round of applause. So, without further ado, I'm gonna list these 5 winners, starting with 5th and working our way up to the number 1 spot. In 5th place, please put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Kaylin. In 4th place, we have Ari. Coming in 3rd, we have Jolly Rapper. In 2nd place, Nicole. And your first place winner for 2018 versus Landia, put it together for Lucinda. Your top 5 poets of versus Landia 2018. Congratulations. Thank you! Have a wonderful rest of your night! We'll see you next year!
Those were voices from Verslandia 2018, the citywide youth poetry slam presented by Literary Arts. Verslandia 2019 is coming up on Thursday, April 25th at the Arlene Schitzer Concert Hall. Learn more about Verslandia and get tickets to this year's slam at literary-arts.org. This has been Literary Arts, the Archive Project. It's a retrospective of some of the most engaging talks from the world's best writers from more than 30 years of literary arts in Portland. Join us next time for The Archive Project, a literary arts production in collaboration with Oregon Public Broadcasting. To hear more from the Archive Project, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Support for the Archive Project comes from Cole Haan, the fashion brand that aims to inspire and empower people to live an extraordinary life. All this and more at colehaan.com. Our show is produced by Crystal Liguori for radio and podcast. Special thanks to the Literary Arts staff, board, and community. This show would not be possible without them. Thanks also to the band Emancipator for our theme music, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Andrew Proctor, and this has been another edition of the Archive Project from Literary Arts. Join us next time and find your story here.